The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Sometimes you start out on a particular track with scripture and a plan, and then God says, I have something else in mind. That happened this week. So I had a particularly stunning sermon ready to go on Revelation 7, and that's not what I'm supposed to talk about today. So I'm going to be obedient to what I believe is the Holy Spirit's leading and share some things with you that are on my mind, especially after a conversation I had with Brenda Zamorano for a podcast that is available on the website if you want to take a look. There's been some things on my mind lately that I think would be helpful to talk about. Maybe you too. Maybe I'm just talking to me today, but I don't think so. I want to talk about control and trust and heaviness. It's kind of a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you feel a heaviness in the world around us today? There's a deep heaviness. I do. How do we respond? What do we do? I think we can't help but feel that, and I think we can't help but be affected by that. I don't see how anybody with a human body could walk around in the world today and not be affected in some way by the heaviness that we feel. Are you vexed? Interesting Bible verse about vexation comes up, and I want to share it with you because it rings so true with a lot of what we're feeling and thinking and seeing today. In 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, listen to this. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood to its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by, other translations, was sick of, was oppressed by, was vexed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard around him. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. I'm going to read that bit about Lot again because that's where the word vex and vexation comes around. Listen. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. I love words, and I looked up vexation or vexed. And I asked you a minute ago, are you vexed? It's an adjective, irritated, annoyed, much discussed or disputed, tossed about as waves. Does that describe you today? One thing that Brenda gave me to chew on that I thought was really interesting is this little nugget. One symptom of vexation is control. One symptom of vexation is control. We feel a sense of urgency, although we might not describe it that way, urgency. And we're not sure what to do, not quite sure what it is that we're gonna do. We begin to feel more and more out of control. We want to control. We need to control. And the fruit of feeling overwhelmed, at least one of them, is a desire to control. Control is a chief contributor to broken relationships. You ever thought about that? Think about that just for a minute. If that is so, and I think it is, why is that so? Why is control a chief contributor of broken relationships? Because the more we want to and try to control other people and the conversation and the circumstances around us, the more relationships suffer. The more relationships become broken and diseased, conflicted, difficult. And fear and lack of trust is at the root of it. I'm going to say that one again. I think that's really important. Fear and lack of trust is at the root of the desire to control. We're scared that we're not going to have what we need when the next rotten thing happens. I talked to a woman this last week who said to me, she's probably 65, 70, something like that, and she may have been mentally, emotionally troubled. I'm not sure, that I can't diagnose that kind of thing, but she seemed really, really vexed. And just out of the blue, she said, "I'm scared to death of dying." She said, "I don't want to die." Those were her words. "I'm scared to death of dying." I said, "Tell me why." She said, "Because everyone knows that when you die, that's it. There's nothing after that. And I'm not ready for that," she said. Didn't have the opportunity or the occasion or the time because of the circumstances to talk with her further, and it left me vexed. And so I did notice that she was trying to do a whole lot of controlling of behavior and circumstances around her. Why? Because she's scared to death of dying. We Christians have had it so good in this nation. Everything's gone just so well for us in the last few decades. And I'm concerned that we've conflated trust in government and trust in social status with relationship and reliance on God. That we've gotten those things confused. So when those things go badly, when government goes badly, or at least we think it does, or social status declines or changes, we lose confidence in them. And if we're not careful, we'll get that confused with losing confidence in God. Does that ring true? Paul talks about jettisoning the things that he ought to be confident in and clinging instead to what? Listen to Philippians 3, 8 through 11. "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Everything else is worthless? Well, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about his status. He was the Jew of Jews, the scholar of scholars, the lawyer of lawyers, as it were. He says, "Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Everything else is worthless? Think about the everything else in your life right now. What is the everything else? What's the stuff that's really, really important to you now? Think about that just a second. I mean, just you and God right now. Holy Spirit, what's really important to me right now? My bank account? My social status? My scholarship, my family, my car, my retirement. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Remember, he's talking about what an upright Jew he was. I talk about obeying the law. I'm really good at it, Paul was saying. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. But that's not the end of the sentence. Paul goes on to say, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. For Paul, joining Christ in his sufferings is part of the experience of knowing. And remember, we said knowing is so much more than just noggin. It's a deep, intimate identification and deep, intimate knowing. I want to know Christ Jesus. Is that your number one thing that you care about? Oh, that's a hard question. It's a hard question. I want to know Christ. Everything else is worthless. There's lots of important things that we should care about. Lord God, help us. There are people in this country who are fighting for the right to kill babies. We ought to care about that deeply. But it doesn't compare to knowing Christ and his sufferings. It's important, but nothing else matters. And I want to know Christ in his sufferings. That one right there gets to the bullseye of, I think, our Achilles heel. Maybe that's a better metaphor as Christians in this country. We don't want to suffer. We don't want anything to do with suffering. And so many times, at least in my life, I'll speak for me, when a little bit of inconvenience comes along, I think that that's suffering. Are you that way sometimes? Or maybe I have conflated confidence in government or social status with my relationship with God. Because when those start to go bad, my first thought is, my God, why have you forsaken me? But loss of confidence in government and the law and social status and so on is not the same as losing confidence in God. Oh, beloved, be encouraged. God is on his throne and he's got this. And I want to know him. I want to know Christ Jesus. I want to know him. And you know what? I want to know him in his sufferings. Do you? Do you want to know him in his sufferings? We haven't had to suffer. And you know what? You know what the fruit of that is, I'm afraid, for so many? That means we've connected our personal peace with the lack of any suffering. That's the good. I'm going to say it again. Because we have not really had to suffer, I wonder if we, I'll speak for me, I wonder if I've connected my peace with a lack of suffering. Does peace equal lack of suffering? Not necessarily. Peace is not the opposite of suffering. Peace is possible even in the midst of suffering. A few Bible verses for you. John 16, 33, I have said these things to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You ought to be shouting. You hearing that? I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Say hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says this, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Not just on Thursday between 3 and 7. At all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. What? Be thankful? Be thankful even in the midst of all this stuff, this heaviness, this vexation. Paul says to the Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Are you letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? Are you letting it? What are you letting rule in your hearts? Are you ruminating over vexation and heaviness? Are you letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Are you abounding in hope? Is that possible even in the midst of heaviness and vexation? Psalm 119:165, I love this. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. That's worth reading again. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his own flesh the dividing wall of hostility. What about control? Are you trying to control things around you? Pastor Chris, no, I don't think I'm trying to control. Let's take stock in some symptoms of control. And I'm looking into my own heart as well. Here are some symptoms of trying to control, and tell me whether you are suffering from the desire to try to control. Do you desire to manage the conversation and the language and the vocabulary around you? Do you try to control the conversation? Do you have to have the last word? Do you have to let the other person know that you know what you're talking about? That you've got all the stuff figured out? The way I see things is the way it really is. Oh, that's a tough one. The way I view this situation is the truth about it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I've got it all tied up. I'm going to control the pace of this conversation. I'm going to control the topic of this conversation. I'm going to bring it to an end when I want to. I'd be guilty of that. Do you interrupt? Do you assume that you know where the other person's going with the conversation? Those can be symptoms of control. And remember that we said that one of the roots of the desire to control is lack of trust and fear. Here's another one, substance abuse. Are you abusing alcohol? Are you abusing some other kind of substance? Much more prevalent in our society than I think any of us. I've decided that practically the whole world is smoking marijuana now. I smell it everywhere I go. And my friends who are in counseling tell me that that's one of the chief ways people are trying to medicate self these days to escape. No, I don't abuse alcohol, Pastor Chris. I don't smoke marijuana. What about food? I confess to you that when I feel most vexed, that's when I start. What about you? Food? No. What about excessive shopping or hoarding or gaming? Those can be symptoms of a desire to try to get your arms around a heavy vexation. The desire to try to do something. You feel a sense of urgency. You're not sure what to do. You're trying to control it. And control is a symptom of a lack of trust and peace. What about anger? I want you to think about this one just a second. Anger. Are you angry? Do you get flashes of anger? And if you do, what's it over? Is it usually one thing or two? I've got a couple that just get me going. Brenda Zamorano says that anger always covers up hurt. I think there may be some real truth in that. And it's nearly always an indication that we've turned inward rather than turning first to the Holy Spirit. That rings true. Situation B37 comes up again in your life, and instead of turning to the Holy Spirit, you get angry. That's turning inward. That's a desire to control. Do you ever think about anger as being a symptom of a desire to control things? Here's another one. Unmet expectations. Unsaid expectations. You've got something in your mind, there's an event or a thing or a trip or something, and you've got in your mind how it's going to go. And we're going to do this, and it will be followed by that, and it will be a beautiful purple color, and then we will do that, and I will say, and you will respond, and then we get to the thing, and none of that happens. That's kind of a fun example. But what about other unmet expectations? My expectation is that society is going to get better and better. My expectation is that we're going to have a revival in this country, and by that I really mean that Christians are going to be cool again. My expectation is that this or that law will change or something. My neighbor will begin to do this, or my children won't do that. And then when that doesn't happen, there's a blow up. There's an internal struggle, and I got to control things. I believe that a great deal of outward control is connected to my inward, unrealistic, unmet expectations. Listen, we cannot be the salt and light that this distasteful, dark world really needs if we're living in those places. If we are angry, if we keep clinging to unmet expectations, if we're self-medicating, if we're trying to control. We can't be salt and light to a world, I tell you, brothers and sisters, is desperate to hear a word about the Lord Jesus Christ. Desperate to have some moments of peace. We can't do that if we're living in this desire to control. Because remember, at the root of control is distrust and fear. We can't be an oasis of peace to this vexed world and these vexed people around us if we're living with these yokes on our necks. And I'm talking about me. Jesus talks about yokes. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Anybody here today weary and burdened, or is it just me? Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Anybody else in here need some rest, or is it just me? And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, Chris Alford, would you rather be yoked with vexation? Would you rather be yoked with the desire to try to gather up the pieces that are falling apart around us? Would you rather be yoked with a desire to control? Or would you rather know Christ in the power of His resurrection and in His sufferings? We're going to wear some sort of yoke. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to examine us. How am I doing today, Holy Spirit, with trusting You? And not leaning into my own understanding. How am I doing today with that, Holy Spirit? Am I trying to control or am I really trusting? Will you help me, Holy Spirit, to learn to rely on You and stop trying to fix or control everything around me? Let's make some choices today about trust and control. Let's make some choices about how we will deal with anger and unmet expectations. Let's make some choices about how we will deal with the vexation we feel about us and the heaviness that we feel about us. We are living in at least what is for us some heavy times. We're living at least for us in unprecedented times. Compared to the sweep of world history and what our brothers and sisters in Christ have suffered with through the ages, and even right now suffering with unbelievable suffering that we can't even imagine right this minute in other parts of the world, compared to that, I scarce even say that we're living in unprecedented times, but for us they are. The world needs us. Your next door neighbor needs you. Sacramento needs you. Somebody who's not trying to control, but rather carrying about them the yoke of Christ and the peace that comes with that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Joshua 24, 14, 15. So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day. Choose you, Epiclesis, this day. Going to be control and fear? As for me and my house and this church, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. God, we live among a people who invent ways to sin. We live in a society that mocks your word and is increasingly, militantly hostile to the way of the cross. Brother Jesus, you were never worried. Let us emulate you. Heavenly Father, we live among a people, sometimes it seems like they're coming for us. We live among a people who celebrate death, whose religion is self, and whose sacrament is blood and death. But Brother Jesus, you were never afraid or worried. Help us to emulate and be found in you. Lord Jesus, today I want to surrender my desire to control, and beneath it and at its root, I want to surrender my inability sometimes to trust you, because you've got this. And I pray that you would use me and use this church to be instruments of your peace in a world that is chaotic and vexed. And use us to be salt and light in a world that is so often distasteful and dark. Help us to put those things off, put on your yoke, and find in you our true peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.